morning we're going to be looking together at Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse number 39. Let's read this together and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing upon his words in Luke chapter 1, verse number 39. At the time, Mary got ready and hurried to her town in the hill country of Judea, where she fished her Zacharias home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's name, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the child who will bear you. But what must be remembered that the mother of my Lord has come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed be he who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble spirit of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me Lord. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is he. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in his evil thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has given the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to his servants." Mary stood with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home. How do you respond when you are overwhelmed with joy and come to the good news that you receive? Maybe you find out for the first time that you're going to be a grandparent. You get called. You're going to be a grandparent for the first time. How do you respond? Maybe you find out that a rich uncle is going to be able to stay. That's a great deal of joy. You're looking at Matthew 20 on your new list, where she did say laundry days. Somebody did a scene out and some crap was there. People were looking at others and they were getting that same laundry that she did scratch off. And they're all excited because they think they won the lottery. How do they respond? Well, they're filled with emotion, right? They come up and down, they're up by themselves, they're told everybody that they can that they won the lottery. It's all fun now. That's really how it goes. Once you got a letter in the mail letting you know that you've been accepted to the college, your number one chance, the college that you hope that you could get into, not accepting the college, but with a scholarship. When did you find out that you've been fired from the job that you've been fired years ago? How would you respond? No doubt you'd be filled with emotion, you'd be filled with excitement, and you'd probably want to have a solution. If you have been blessed with good news, the natural reaction is to share that news with other people. It's almost as if the good news to you is not complete until you're able to share it with other people. Well, that's what we see in our text this morning. We see someone who receives good news, unspeakable good news, amazing good news, and the first thing that she wants to do is she wants to share it with others. What if you were a 14 or 15 year old poor Hebrew girl and you found out that you were going to receive by the grace and the power of God a baby in your womb by supernatural conception? And that baby in your womb was going to be the Christ child, the long promised Messiah, the Son of God, and who is the Lord? How would you respond? What would be the first thing that you would do? Mary called immediately, and she was a sister. She had to hear that news because it was so exciting, it was so amazing, it was so glorious that she had to hear. In the story that we looked at last week, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she had been chosen by God's grace to be the mother of the Messiah. imperfection of our own, not for anything that she had done, but simply because God chose his mercy to use this lowly, humble servant girl, Mary. And he appoints her to receive one of the great blessings that any human being has ever experienced. Now, the way to that blessing was not to be completely true. That would be important. That would be conditional. One difficulty that Mary would have to face is the talk and the rumors and the people whispering behind her back about the fact that she was pregnant and had not yet fulfilled her marriage to this. She had a marriage. And wouldn't be able to explain to everyone what he was over. So she would have to bear that. She would have to go and run away to Egypt because Herod would want to kill the baby boy. She would go to the pain and labor of childbirth. She would have to live a poor life growing up here in Nazareth, living a life watching over the child and raising him, only to see him ritual and mocked and scorned and rejected and ultimately beaten and crucified on his own cross. So, yes, Mary would be blessed, but the road that would not be without his influence. How do you respond to this good news? To humbly and obediently in faith. In verse number 38, I'm going to tell you, may your words be used. But God responds, Lord, on your earth, you are me and you will. Obedience will be faith. And so Mary believes the word of the angel. She believed the word of the Lord, and she responded in humble, servant-like obedience. She accepted the role that God had given her to her. Well, what's her immediate reaction? After obeying the angel of God and believing in faith, she wants to know that. She wants to share the good news with everyone that we do. So that's the first point this morning from the danger of Mary, and that is that faith leads us to share the good news. Faith leads us to share the good news. She wasted no time in sharing the good news. According to verse 39, it says that she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. This is not as simple as picking up your phone and calling someone and telling them that you have good news. This is not as easy as picking up your phone and clicking over and reading your phone to text someone that you have great news to share. This is not as simple as posting nothing on Facebook. For her to share the good news and learn that she has it, lead 80 to 100 miles and travel on foot or by animal, and probably took her about 9 days journey to go from Galilee to Nazareth down to the small country town, probably a little bit outside of Jerusalem, in Judea. She didn't involve in that. She was never involved in doing that. But she wanted to share the good news because she knew that she had been abundantly blessed. So why is she talking about? What did she do with the spirit of the demon? What did her have to do with her family relationship with her? But that's not the primary reason why she came to know to a little bit of cause to feel the need of her. I think the main reason she chose to feel the need of her is that she also saw that she could refer the message of the angel. Because remember, in the message of the angel told her, nothing is too hard for God. God can do anything that he wants to do. In fact, our demonstration has proved that God can do anything that he wants to do. Your child is a murderer in this house. The one thing that I about still never conceived, she was old, she was beyond childhood in years, she never had a child. And her chief pregnant, and she was too smart for this. And so, one maybe goes to Elizabeth, because she wants to see what the angel told her that. She wants to confirm in faith what she had been told. Now, this is not a decade out of this. In fact, you are in a decade of hope to us. And so, God checked this out. God knew this great thing that God had done my mind so different than when we look up here to the pulpit and say there's a crux more than that, and that will be wrath and flood of the world, and we'll find this flood in man as a way that they will succeed this transformation. And they go and they see, and with their own eyes, they confirm what they believe in Jesus. The two parts are one company. There's two parts of one and something confirmed. One is if a dog proves it to show confirmation. That's not the truth. There's never been a unbeliever all two and one. If he wants to go and confirm in faith what the Lord has told him in the news. And if he goes to live there, not only to confirm what God has spoken, but also to share amazing news. So, what I want to think about this morning is that God's mission in sharing this news with the world, there are actually two meanings that are taking place. There may be a move between Mary and Elizabeth, but really, that even what you're doing is that they're more important to me than such things for these two really different messages. Because when these two mothers get together, then they're both pregnant, they're both mothers, they're both about to give birth in the first time, they're making their hearing and joy of the news they both receive, but there's also another meaning for this from Savior. And that is between two people who are yet unborn. Two people who are still in the wombs of the mother. That means, for the first time, between John, who is in the womb of Elizabeth, and Jesus, who is in the womb of Mary. The verse 75 is around here. Mark, two of you. For a collection of cells of two human beings that are inside these beings. So much so that John, the prophet, as soon as Mary comes into the house and says, hello, the baby inside of the womb is John, the dad of John, the prophet, the one who prepared the way for the coming of the prophet, announced his coming, John the Baptist. John is not involved in the full range of the fact that Jesus is in his hands. Inside the room. The human response of joy and emotion from an unborn child inside the room of a woman. And so there's a meaning here between two very, very important people, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his appointed prophets who have prepared the word of Christ. And so Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, almost as acting as a prophet, speaking prophetically. She announces the significance of this meeting. In verse number 32, she says this, and around voice, she exclaims, blessed are you among women, blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord come to me? As soon as the sound of your dream meet my ears, the baby in my womb leap for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. Elizabeth understands the significance of this time. Elizabeth understands the significance of this meeting. Why is mother peace? How does she know that the meeting is coming? Jesus can read the text. That does tell us what Mary said when she came into the house. It says that she came in grief, Elizabeth. You don't know what the meeting was. You don't know if it was specific, if Mary was pregnant, with the sign that she said that she gave a grief. I believe in the text that Mary came in her grief. In a standard ancient Hebrew reading without any additional information. And that by a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit coming on Elizabeth, Elizabeth understands already the significance of all that meeting. The Holy Spirit comes on her and Elizabeth, in response to the coming of the Holy Spirit on her, prophesies and says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. You are highly favored. You've been granted God's grace of not only of marriage, but of worthy or equal to anything in the world, but you have God merciful and granted to her." Elizabeth is recognizing that Mary has been blessed. You are blessed, and blessed is the child that you will bear. Not just in Jesus, she recognizes this perspective that he says, "My wife is favored, that the mother of my Lord has." She recognizes that the child inside of Mary is her master and Lord. I love it in the Holy Spirit. There's a big book inside the womb of a young 14, 15-year-old girl. And it's been studied under the instruction of the Holy Spirit, if you will. This baby is my Lord. And blessed are you, blessed is he. And blessed are you because you believe in what the Lord has told you and what the Lord means. This whole episode is an announcement. It's an announcement of grace. It's an announcement of really the beginning of the Bible. That time of the birth of this one. Why are we blessed? Mary, why are you blessed? Why is this child blessed? Because he is one thing. The long promised Redeemer who will save us from our sins. It's an amazing of good news. In verse 45, we see a link between belief and sharing the good news. And that's why I call this quote that faith moves us to share the good news. Because Elizabeth said of Mary, from 45, blessed is she, blessed are you, Mary, because you believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises. Mary is not to be here. And what comes there you call Mary? Mary recalled it in the moment. Here it begins. What we find through the rest of the chapter is very sad. It's follow Mary three times in all styles in my busy past. It's very small and afraid because of what God is doing in her life. And what we find in that total verse is a poetic response of joy and worship and praise. It is who God is and what He is in her life. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Verse 48, because He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. He recognizes that there is nothing in her that worthies. There's nothing that she has done to know God's needs for her. It's not a nothing. It's a unfair, unmerited, unconditioned, God's mercy and grace. And she recognizes that she's grown, that she's not that small, that she's not in the offer. In verse 53, we see this even thing when Mary says, He has filled the hungry with food to eat, but He sent the rich away empty. Now, the hungry are filled, but those who are rich, He says in our passage, especially when we talk about our feet and our concepts, in our minds, in our culture, in our world, we often honor the good, the lovely, the rich, the noble. God often works in the earth. And so, in this way, we encourage and praise the fact that God is blessing those who are strong, those who are humble, those who have nothing to offer God, those who are weak. And she is good. We look for more, we look up to both are humble. But those who are prideful and self-content, those who are rich in themselves, those who think they have no need of God, those who think that they are well, are burdened with their coming. So Jesus makes a deal with the rich, but those who are well. And that's why I think the text means that those who think they are well. Because we're also prideful. Our natural born condition, we are all dead in trespasses and sins. And our only hope is through the grace of God, who can heal us of our spiritual deadness and raise us from the dead and give us new life. So we're all dead in that sense. We're all dead in that sense. But there are some who believe that there are some who believe that they have no need of us. There are some who believe that they're Christians, that they were all in us. If they have things in and of themselves, they can do themselves now because they were here. But he is our own other home for you. So if you think you have no need of me, God comes to those who will respond and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a servant. I have nothing to offer. So if you're here this morning and you are burdened, with this and the students of your class, and you recognize that they have nothing to offer God. There's no merit in myself. I can't say, God, look at this, what have I done? Or God, you know, show mercy to me because I don't need it. You have nothing like that to offer God. Then you're loveless. If this one's mercy comes to the Lord, God's mercy comes to the poor in spirit. And if you're in a position this morning where you recognize, God, I have nothing to offer you. I'm a lonely sinner, and all I can do is cry out for your mercy and your heart and big water for my soul. Hold me and filled up by the Holy Spirit's work. God extends mercy to the Holy Church. And we pray for the Lord. Not only did we praise God because of his mercy to the Holy Spirit, she also praises God in his actions for his mighty power and his rule over the world. So in verses 51 and 52, she says, God, he has performed mighty deeds for the Lord. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Because the song of praise recognizes that God, the sovereign of the universe, and that he does what he wills in the unfolding of world history. She recognizes that this moment in time is the culmination of the power of God for generations. She recognizes that God has been moving in the affairs of humanity, bringing this event to pass in our lives and her life at this moment in time. And what believes in the prophecy of being, she recognizes that according to God's rule, according to God's authority, he sets up rulers as he wills, and he takes down rulers as he wills. He does what he wants in the affairs of man and his annual day. No one is from God, what he does. All of God's self rules. And then recognize that he is a sovereign, almighty God who rules in the affairs of men. And it's all to be learned from score four. In fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of the Lord, to redeem us from the curse of the law. But that time has come in his death. The fullness of time has come. All these events have fallen into place for the man of sovereignty. And Mary praises God for his rule over the universe. He's the one God. She also praises God. Thirdly, she praises God in his sense. She praises God for his faithfulness to his sons. She turns her own friends by focusing on the fact that God has remembered all his promises to him. Every covenant that he has ever made in the Old Testament is fulfilled now. She says in verse 54, he was selfless servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. To Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised to our ancestors. And so, as Jesus said a little later on in his ministry, all the law and the prophets speak of me. And Mary recognizes that this moment in time, this announcement that has been given to her by the angel Gabriel, she recognizes the significance of this event, and she believes that this is the culmination of all of these predictions in the Old Testament. All of these promises, all the covenants that God made to these people, it's on the prophecy. The promise of Abraham, when Jesus spoke about me, that Abraham's son will rescue. I'm making great, and in you all families on earth will be blessed. The Son of God's love in the city. From that being that Jesus, he has made his promise, the promise of Abraham, he continues to live through you. From God being to David and said, I'm never going to remove the throne of Israel from your line. You're always going to have a son be descended from the throne of Israel. All of these times have come to pass. Mary praises God for his faithfulness. God, you are faithful, covenant keeping God. All of this is God really needs to pause and to do that. If you are in Christ, then you are the beneficiary of the new and better heaven. Mary is praising God for the covenant of the Old Testament, the Abraham covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Levitical covenant. That all comes to the culmination moment in the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is right behind his own people. And if you are in Christ, saved by God. Then you are the beneficiary of a new and a better covenant. And Moses said that all that God has, all of the old covenant promises, all the old covenant promises, and what does that say about it in terms of the new covenant? If you're in the new covenant, he will not renew the new covenant either. What the blessing of the new covenant, Jeremiah 31 says, is that through the new covenant, the Lord Jesus will acknowledge that it's to be his. There's a remembrance no more of our sins. Our sins are being away from us as far as the east is from the west. God will write his law in our hearts by the indwelling Holy Spirit. There's a promise of eternal life. The blessings of the new covenant are rich. And God is the covenant keeping it. God keeps his promises and his covenants. And so, what in all of that are we going to do? If you have received good news this morning, good news for Jesus, our faith and the good news should be as fair and good news to as many people as possible, and that faith and good news. And so, this Christmas season, I want to invite you to view what Mary is, to view as the shepherd, and to go out glorifying God, praising God for the things that you have experienced in your life, and then be as Mary on the shepherd's field. Our own world, which is about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ.